Welcome to Behold and Become, a podcast about faith with me, Robert Black. Welcome to episode 139 of Behold and Become as we continue a series on Christian heresies. In this episode, we're going to consider four Christological heresies. Now, a Christological heresy is one that centers around the identity of Jesus the Christ. These are points that were being debated in the early church about the question to which the Nicene Creed became the response. Now, to be clear, I'm not going to cover every single heresy in the early church because there were so many of them. I'm just covering the broad categories. And there are still some heresies that go by different names because they have slightly different nuances, but most of them revolve around one of these questions. By understanding these four big heresies today, though, we get a sense of the picture of some of the more problematic ways of thinking about Jesus. And these four are adoptionism, Arianism, monophysitism, and modalism. Now, at their core, all four of these are about denying that Jesus is the second person of the Holy Trinity. Adoptionism essentially denies the Trinity by saying that Jesus was not the eternal Son of God. He was not even a part of the Trinity. Instead, Jesus was a wise and holy man whose example was so pure and holy that God chose to adopt him. Now, there are different flavors of adoptionism. Some argue that Jesus was adopted by God at his baptism. Others say it was at the resurrection. Some say it was at his ascension. But the argument is that God is one, not three, only one. And so that means there is no eternal Son, and therefore no Trinity. But God chose to adopt Jesus as a son and then gave the throne of heaven to him. So that's adoptionism. Next is Arianism, which is a fairly similar heresy, but it was far more popular. It was championed by Arius, who was on the losing end of the debates at the Council of Nicaea. He held that Jesus was indeed the Son of God, so he's not claiming to be an adoptionist exactly. But he said that Jesus is not the eternal Son of God. He says the begottenness of Jesus happened in time, not before or beyond time. So Jesus is not an eternal part of the Trinity. Now, there are entire books and podcasts dedicated to this debate around Arianism and Nicaea and all of the things that went into the questions around the eternal nature of Jesus. There's no way I can capture all the details or the nuance here. But at its core, this is a question about the eternal nature of Jesus. And then there's monophysitism. Now, in a way, it's almost the opposite of adoptionism, because it claims that Jesus had only one mono nature, phusis. And this one nature was a divine nature. So it's a claim that Jesus was not human, only divine. It's a denial, in other words, of the incarnation. And in that sense, it's not terribly different from docetism, which we explored in the first episode of this series. Now, the final heresy for today is modalism, and it might be better called a Trinitarian heresy rather than a Christological one, but hey, Jesus is a part of the Trinity, so if you mess with one part, you're really messing with them all. But modalism says that there's only one God, not three. It's just that we perceive that God is working in three different modes, which is where modalism gets its name, or manifestation. So maybe you've heard about how, well, God is sort of like water. Sometimes we experience water as solid ice, or as liquid water, or as a gaseous vapor. But all of them are water, right? Just different modes of being, but this is considered heresy. The same is true of the analogy of a woman, who is at the same time a mother, a daughter, and a wife, just depending on the relation that we're talking about. I've heard others talk about the Trinity as a geyser, and this one is at least getting a little bit better because you've got water under the surface, that's the Father, and then the water erupting at the surface, which is the Son, and then the water in the air is the Spirit. It's all a part of the geyser's eruption, but it's just different depending on the location. Now again, still a heresy, but it's getting at least a little bit less heretical. I've heard others speak about the Father as the lover, the Son as the beloved, and the Spirit as the love between them. And yeah, love, that's a great metaphor. But what I don't like about this one is that the Spirit is reduced to being something less than a person. Again, love is a nice thought and all, but this understanding of the Trinity clearly falls short. And again, all metaphors are deficient. But if I have to use one, I often turn to a metaphor of language. The Father is the thought and the meaning behind a spoken word. The Son is the word itself. And the Spirit is the hearing and the speaking of that word. Now, all are the word in question, but there are different aspects of it. And it's not quite modalism, because we're not saying that they're the same thing, just experienced differently depending on our situation. Rather, we're saying that there are three distinct things that make a word intelligible. And these three understandings, though, they're all distinct and they're all required. Now again, all analogies break down, but at least that's the best one I've got, even if our best isn't particularly close. But really, modalism is a heresy of hubris, which claims that we can understand the Trinity enough to say anything definitive and certain about the nature of God as Trinity. We're sort of like ants trying to do quantum physics. It is absurd for us to think that we could figure out God or come up with a fully workable analogy for the Trinity. Because to understand something is to claim mastery and control over it. And so if we turn our intellects into a form of idolatry whenever we claim to know how God quote-unquote works, yes, God gave us an intellect to use, and we should use it to contemplate the mysteries of God. But we have to remain humble enough to know that whatever we say is limited and partial. But modalism is a heresy that runs right through those warnings and claims to know more about God than we can. And we do still find all four of these heresies today when people claim to know what God wants in very specific and non-negotiable ways. It's that non-negotiable that's really the clue that we're dealing with heresy. And when people say that Jesus was a wise prophet, but not divine. Or when people try to reduce all of the miracles associated with Jesus to being legends or embellishments or having a scientifically explainable cause, then we end up with modern manifestations of these Christological heresies. Because all good theology and discipleship is rooted in humility, and all Christian theology is grounded in Jesus being a part of the triune God. To deny either of these is to commit one of these heresies. Next week, we'll consider some more heresies that are rooted in problematic views of humanity. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you forever. Amen.